You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
When you consider Colossians 2 and 14, the main subject of the verse is the cross. The main subject of today's message that the Spirit of God has led me to teach about is the cross. Literally, a cross was two trees that were tied together, making what we would call the letter T. When we see a cross, it looks just like the letter T. But remember, it's just literally two trees that have been put together. The cross was used to shame people, to torment people, and to ultimately execute criminals. That's what the cross was used for. It was used, number one, to shame folk. When a person was put on the cross, it was to mock them or to shame them. Jesus, like others, when they were on the cross, they were not clothed. They were naked. So if a man was put on the cross, again, it was to shame him. Number two, it was to torment him. They would put the man on the cross while he was still alive. He wouldn't be tied to the cross. He would be nailed there. The nails wouldn't be put into the tree, and then they would wrap a rope around his hands or around his feet to keep him there. No, the stakes would go through the palm of the hand, would go through the feet, and they were expected to hang there until they died. From sunup to whenever they took their last breath. And this is what is amazing. In the Bible, we see that the cross was primarily for criminals, folks that did wrong. That's who they would put primarily on the cross, which should cause us to appreciate Jesus even the more, because he did no wrong. The Bible says he went around doing good. He went around delivering folk that were oppressed by or of the devil, and still the world, man, put him on the cross like a criminal. Matter of fact, they put him on the cross in between two criminals. Let's notice Luke 23, young people. Let's go to Luke 23 and let me prove my definitions. Let's look at Luke 23 and verse number 33. Luke 23:33 reads, "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they, notice, crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left." Treated Jesus like a low-down scoundrel, like a criminal. And notice here in the text, they use the word crucify. They don't use cross, but a person was crucified on the cross. And that word crucify means to fix a person in place with nails until they die. Gonna put these criminals, or put Jesus and the criminals on the cross, fix them there with nails, and let them hang until they die. Young people, whenever you see a cross, it should be more than just a fashion symbol. When you see a cross, it should remind you of what Jesus went through and did for all of us. We should, in my opinion, never disrespect the cross. Like some people do, they invert or turn the cross upside down. You should never do that. That's dishonoring what Jesus did on the cross. Many Satanists actually take the cross and turn it upside down as a sign of disrespect to what Jesus did on the cross. And here you see in these pictures a couple of celebrities. They have one tattoo, the upside down cross on his tongue. Another one put it in between his eyes, an upside down cross, just dishonoring what it means to those who believe in the scripture. And we should never do that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, young people, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When you and I think about the cross, when we hear the message of the cross, it should mean something. There's power on the cross. There is power in what Jesus did on the cross, before the cross, and after the cross. Look at somebody and say, it's the power of God. And that's what I want to spend the next few moments talking about, to give us some wisdom, some knowledge, some understanding. When we consider the Bible, the cross has numerous important meanings that should be known and understood to young people. It should be more than just a pair of earrings. It should be more than just a charm you get on a necklace. The cross means something. Tell somebody, the cross is very important. And so we're going to look at just a few meanings of the cross and what the Bible says, and then we're going to be done. Number one, when we consider the cross as it relates to Jesus, the cross represents suffering. The cross, young people, represents, number one, suffering. Suffering, in one sense, is mental and physical pain. It's nothing to play around with. Suffering has to do with hardship, persecution, trouble. When you consider Jesus and his relationship to the cross, Jesus experienced tremendous suffering. I could never say it could have been me. It should have been me. No, I wasn't built for that. That was his assignment. And with the cross came tremendous suffering. Now, we're going back to Luke 23, and we're going to read a couple of verses in Luke 23. But I want you to keep in mind, what we're going to read is what happened with Jesus and the cross. But before it, due to time's sake, before he even got the cross, he was denied, first of all, by his disciples. Then he was taken to the high courts, and he was He was lied on and mocked. Then he was beat. They blindfolded him, stripped him. The scripture even said they struck him plainly in the face. But through it all, Jesus still took that cross and that suffering. Lord, have mercy. Imagine we using you as an example this morning. We bring you up here, spit on you, smack you in the face, take all your clothes down to your drawers, blindfold you, then a couple of us just beat you, and then you have to deal with the cross. That's tremendous suffering. But I want you to keep in mind, even though he was suffering, Jesus still was focused on getting on that cross. Lord have mercy. Y'all in Luke 23? Let's start at verse number 26. Now keep in mind all what I've just said. Luke 23, 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simeon, a Syrian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Not with him, but after. Verse 27. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women, who also mourned and lamented. So all what I just told you took place. He done been beat, stripped, spit on, blindfolded, and such. Now he got the cross on his back. And he's got to carry it up a hill that is said to be over a mile long. Historians say that the cross weighed between 150 and 300 pounds. And he had to carry it up the hill to his own service. Had to carry it up the hill and down the cross. All of this drenched in blood, headed up this hill. And so what happened in verse number 27, some women, they were following him, and it says they were crying, they were lamenting and mourning. And look at Jesus in 28. But Jesus turned to them and said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. But indeed, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Are y'all getting this picture? Here this man is suffering, but he's still preaching. Here he is suffering, but he's still serving. This is a great lesson for us. No matter what you go through in life, young folk, no matter what you suffer, you need to make sure you stay in the will of God. Jesus was suffering. That was his assignment, but he's still preaching to folk on his way to his death, which lets us know, young folk, we gonna suffer in life. The Bible says those that desire to live godly will suffer persecution. But you remember Jesus, even though you suffer, whether it be in your family, in your body, in your personal life, you got to stay in the will of God. You got to make sure you're doing whatever it is that God has called you to do, even though you're going through something difficult in your life. See, some people want to stop serving when life gets tough. But you got to remember Jesus, how he bore that cross, but he's still preaching. He went through all that he went through and still was serving. Tell somebody, no matter what you go through, stay in the will of God. Your body may ache, but stay in the will of God. Your neck and your back may ache, but stay in the will of God. Your money may get low. Don't you stay out of church. You stay in the will of God. Tell somebody, when you suffer, stay in the will of God. The Hebrew writer put it like this. Jesus endured the cross. It was hurting. It was painful. But he stayed in the will of God. He endured the cross. Sometimes life, young people, doesn't go the way you want it to go. But you got to endure the cross. You got to endure what you go through in your personal life. It hurts. It's sometimes difficult to deal with, but remember Jesus. He didn't quit. He didn't stop. He kept moving forward. Boy, we ought to give Jesus a hand clap for being a perfect example. Woo, Jesus. I'm trying to paint the picture. Are y'all seeing it? He stayed in the will of God even though he was suffering. Remember, suffering, or the suffering and dying of Jesus on the cross, was a demonstration of love. I'm hurting, but I'm going to do this out of love. Sweat, spit, flesh mingling from his body. A cross that weighed between 150 and 300 on his back. But he said, I got to keep bearing this cross because I love people. I don't want them to die in their sin. And you got to remember, young people, when you get to going through, you got to remember, Lord, I'm going to keep doing my assignment because I love you. You demonstrated your love and dying for me when I was a sinner. I can demonstrate my love in the midst of what I go through. Sometimes you feel like throwing in the towel, but you got to remember, I can't let this separate me from the love of God. Sometimes your body is racked with pain, but you got to just say, Lord, I love you too much to complain. I just got to go ahead and give you my best. Tell somebody, you got to do it with some love in your heart. That's why Jesus did what he did. He did it for love. He was hurting, but he said, I got to demonstrate how committed I am to the world. I love you. And man, that just makes me look at myself and say, thank you, Jesus, because sometimes I do him wrong. But he went all the way because of love. How many know sometimes you do the Lord wrong? Sometimes you think, talk, and do what's out the will of God, but he still loves us. Lord, I thank you for demonstrating your love. So remember, that suffering that Jesus went through, it was for love, and it was him showing how to serve. Him suffering was him showing us, come on, class, love and how to what? How to serve. Paul said in Philippians, notice this, 2:7-8. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. So the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to leave my throne and go down to earth and live like a man. And then I'm going to die for man. He became a servant. Verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. It was service. The Bible says that his life was not taken from him, but he laid it down. He willingly gave his life for you and for me. Boy, that's the ultimate servant. But all of it came with suffering. What is the first meaning of the cross? Come on, congregation. What's the first meaning of the cross? Suffering. Number two, when you see the cross, it means victory. Not only does the cross represent suffering, it also represents victory. If you are a Christian, you need to know that the cross represents, number one, suffering, and number two, victory to defeat something. Lord have mercy. When he got up on that cross, and died there, he defeated sin for us. Death, our enemy, defeated. The wages of sin is death. I don't have to die in my sin. But victory also represents divine turnaround. Jesus was the perfect example of how a situation can be dead, but he can turn it around and cause life to manifest. When you see that cross, you need to remember, I got the victory. He died, but on the third day, he rose again. And that same power is still in operation. Though we die in life or experience ruin, we can live again. Though you get sick in your body, there's still healing available. Though you go through hardship, if you suffer with him, he will make sure that you reign with him. You may be at the bottom, but if you stay in Jesus, he'll make you the head and not the tail. In Jesus, because of what he did on the cross, we have the victory. Tell somebody, I got the victory because of Jesus. And it's time for young folk to get excited about that. You're not guaranteed victory with a high school or a college diploma, but if you are in the will of God, you got guaranteed success. Tell somebody, I got the victory. I got the victory. I got the victory because of what Jesus did on that cross. Notice the notes. What Jesus did on the cross gives us victory. His resurrection proves that he can give a divine turnaround. I said, what he did on the cross proves that Jesus can give us a divine turnaround, or what the Bible calls resurrection. Let's go to the book of John. Looking for somebody that's excited about this word besides myself. Notice John 11 and look at 23. And we'll conclude at 26. Jesus said to her, Martha, your brother will rise again. How many remember the story of Lazarus? Lazarus was Jesus' friend, and he had died. And once Jesus got word about it, he waited 3 days before he went to see him. And when he got there, his sister was upset that Jesus wasn't there from the jump. And Jesus shows up to the house and tells her, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, y'all ought to help me, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he hit her with a question. Do you believe this? He hit her with what Yvette asked. Please believe it. Look at somebody and say, you better believe it. Yeah, see, your situation may be dead, but God can resurrect it if you believe. You may have some deadly habits in your life, but if you believe, the Lord can resurrect it. You may have been on something since you was a child. You may be hooked on it, but we serve a God that can resurrect it and not only get you unhooked, but make you whole. Tell somebody, he is the resurrection and the life. The question is, do you believe it? Do you have the faith to believe that whatever you're dealing with and will deal with in life, that God can turn that thing around? Job went through some deadly situations, but he said, I know my Redeemer lives. I'm going through some things in my family, in my money, in my health, but he knew if a man died, he could live again. Young folk, you got to know that there's victory because of what Jesus did on the cross. He didn't just resurrect back then. He's still resurrecting right now. So when you get sick in your body, your mindset need to be, because of the stripes, I am healed. Because of what Jesus did on that cross, I may be sick now, but I've got victory. That needs to be your mindset. When you make a mistake, you need to say, hey, I can go to my God and he can forgive me. If I just confess my sins, if I repent and turn, he is faithful and just to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. I've got the victory. And I thank him for what he did on that cross. He went through it so I could have the victory. But you gotta believe. What is the victory that overcomes the world? John says here in 1 John 5:4, it's our faith. If you believe that Jesus died and rose after the third day, you need to believe that he can turn any situation around in your life as well. You need to believe that. It may not happen in 3 days. It may take 3 weeks. But you still need to believe. It may take 3 months, but you still need to believe. It may take 3 years, but you still need to believe. God is a rewarder of those who have faith or belief in him. So as I celebrate his resurrection, it reminds me of the victory I have. It reminds me of the suffering that Christ went through just for me. But the third meaning is what I want to deal with. Let's take a recap. What's the first meaning we learned today of the cross? Oh, y'all sound good. Meaning number two, victory. Meaning number three, redemption. Redemption. The meaning of the cross and what took place on the cross as it pertains to Jesus should remind me of my redemption. Yes. To be redeemed, in one sense, means to rescue. But it also means to buy back or reconcile. Jesus had to get us back in the right place. The only way we could be redeemed is that Christ had to shed blood for us. And he did that. He did that before he got on the cross, and he did it while he was on the cross. If I'm going to get Baker back in the place he need to be, I got to get up on this cross. If I'm going to redeem Landon, I got to get back on this cross. If I'm going to redeem AJ, I got to get on this cross. If I'm going to get this curse off of Gabe, I got to get on this cross. If Josh ain't going to end up in hell, I got to get on this. I gotta get on this cross. I want them back. I gotta reconcile them. I gotta get them back to where Adam was from the jump. And the only way to get them all back is I got to shed this blood. And I got to get on this cross. I got to redeem the ones that I created and the ones that I love. Somebody shout redemption. You need to understand, if Christ didn't get on that cross to redeem us, we'd all be cursed. I said we'd all be cursed. So Jesus got on the cross and became a curse for us. He said, I'm going to get on this cross and I'm going to be cursed so they don't have to be cursed. He took our place. That's what he did. He took our place. He took your place and he took my place. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians 3. And notice what Paul writes in verse 13 as we come to a close. Galatians 3 and 13. Christ has redeemed us, thank you, Jesus, from the curse of the law. That law that says the wages of sin is death. Or in the Old Testament, it said the soul that sins will die. Or the person that sins will die. That was the law. We deserved death. That was the curse on the white man, black man, yellow man, red man. Every man. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Let's read it again. Christ has redeemed us, help me, young folk, from the curse of the law. Here it is. Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He said, I'm going to be that curse for them. I'm going to replace it. I'm going to be that curse for them. Christ gave it all up just to redeem us. He went all the way. Lord have mercy. I said he went all the way. And what's so admirable to me about Christ and the cross is how he just walked it all the way to the grave. I mean, he suffered, bore that cross, didn't complain. He walked it all the way to the grave. He gave it all up to reach his goal. And young folk, that is something we should learn from and appreciate, that Christ gave it all up just for you so we could be redeemed. I mean, he went all the way. He walked it all the way to the grave, didn't complain, didn't murmur, didn't backbite. He walked it all the way to the grave. He was real about it. See, that's how we got to be about being a Christian. It get tough sometimes. Folk talk about us, but you need to walk this thing all the way to the grave. You need to say, look, I'm saved. I'm spirit-filled. If you don't like it, that's a you problem. But I'm going to be like Jesus, and I'm going to walk this thing all the way to the grave. He may choose me to suffer. He may choose for me to go through in my mind, in my body. But I'm going to go ahead and walk this thing all the way to the grave. Tell somebody, you got to walk it all the way to the grave. You don't need to be in and out. You need to just go ahead and fully commit and walk it all the way to the grave. Hallelujah. I'm glad he went all the way for me. I'm glad that he shed blood for me. I'm glad he was mocked for me. I'm glad he was ridiculed for me so I could be redeemed. And now that I'm redeemed, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to magnify him because I know the one that went all the way to save my soul. You think I'm going to be quiet because you looking at me? I understand what he did. You think I'm going to hold back because you on my row? I understand that he suffered. He gave me the victory and he redeemed my soul. Hallelujah. He nailed it all to the cross. Look at somebody and say, when he went to the cross, he nailed it all. Right there. Hallelujah at the MSW. If Jesus did not die on that cross for us, the requirement against us was death. If he didn't step in and pay the price, you would have had to pay that price. And I'm just going to be honest, none of us could afford to pay that price. Aren't you glad he redeemed you? Aren't you glad he stepped in and said, I'll do it. I'll take it. Imagine a person that's in here. Matter of fact, imagine all of us. We go out. We commit heinous crimes. Let's say this side over here, they go up and they go and carjack a few folk today. Yeah, they take somebody, they hit them on the head, take the keys to the car, and then put it on Instagram. That's what they did. Then this section over here, all of this section just showed up at Walmart and just ran through Walmart and stole over $20,000 worth of goods from Walmart. I mean, got all the TVs, all the PlayStations, even went and got some dog food for their little pets, just low down. And then put their face on the camera like, now what? That's this section right here. Then this section right here, they went to the club. Woo! Some of them went to the strip club. Some of them, look at that, I want to be over there. Look, y'all ain't right. They went to the club. Got their drink on, they snort on. Look at this section. And then this section over here, they just went on a killing spree. Everybody they didn't like, they went on the purge. Everybody in here. And the pastor, he did one of all. He just escorted everybody. So then imagine we all do these heinous crimes and every last one of us get caught. We all get caught. Every last picture, every last act. We seen the tape of them in the strip club. Everybody caught. We go to court, and the magistrate judge comes in here and say, look, I'm looking at 100 plus years to life for all y'all. All y'all. Every last one of you in here, you deserve to go and do state and fed time. You'll never see your parents again. You'll never be able to go to Applebee's again. Never be able to buy anything online. Cell phone privileges, gone. Designer clothes, gone. Everything. And some of you, because the crime was so heinous, you're going to get the death penalty. And we all sitting in our orange jumpsuit in court looking at one another on that dumb stuff. But then in the back of the court, in comes Jesus. Walks down the court aisle and says, Your Honor, I want them all to be free. I'll take the penalty for all of them. I'll go to death row. For all of them are guilty. Hold your claps. All of them are guilty. They deserve death. They deserve jail. They deserve hell. And I'll step in. If you're going to throw anybody away, do it to me. And the judge says, so be it. You pay, take the fall for all of them. And all of us in our messed up self get to walk out free. But Jesus, he's the one who paid the penalty for our wrongdoing. That's a picture of what happened on the cross. He took the weight. He took it all and nailed it to the cross. That's what he did. And we're free because of him. If that happened in real life, some of us would be having a celebration. Barbecue. I mean, you'd be having a party. Am I right about it? When you realize the meaning of the cross, every day should be a celebration. Every day should be a celebration because you realize he's the one that suffered. He the one that caused you to be free or get the victory. And he's the one that redeemed you. He took the place and nailed it all on the cross. Boy, y'all ought to give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Now, let's read our main verse. It should be more clearer now. Colossians 2 and 14 as we close. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. Yeah, we didn't want death. Death was against us. And he has taken it out the way, having done what? Nailed it to the cross. I love how Isaiah says it. Write these down. Isaiah says in Isaiah 53 and 12, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. Paul said in Ephesians 1:17, in him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins, according to the richness of his grace. Young people, young adults, church, let us remember as we celebrate what Christ did for us on the cross, the suffering he went through, the victory that was won, and the redemption that we have. Help me tell somebody, say, don't you ever forget, he nailed it all to the cross. Let's stop right there and let's give God a hand clap for the text. Come on, MSW. Come on, let's celebrate. Anybody not ashamed or embarrassed and you don't mind making a joyful noise, come on, let's.